Oh, I love the presence of the Lord. And God does love us and care for us. And I appreciate Sister Tammy's tenderness to the Lord. And I felt God in that testimony. I really did. I want to read from 1 Peter chapter 1. If you'd like to read there with me again here tonight. A couple of Wednesday nights ago, I tried to preach a little bit on this and got into some of it. But 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, and maybe I should read verse 15 as well. But I want to thank you for these God-exalting testimonies, and I appreciate the blessings of the Lord. In verse 15 it says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." And I'd like to preach again tonight on holiness begins with God. And you can just say part two because I preached on this a little bit ago. You can see from these scriptures that the whole basis of Peter's admonition of these people to live a holy life depended upon what they thought of God. And the truth of the matter is that sometimes we have blamed people's backslidings and blamed even churches' worldliness upon the deceptiveness of sin. And I can truthfully say that sin is deceptive. And if you want to do a study on the deceptiveness of sin, there's a large study and there's plenty of illustrations in the Word of God in your own life and around you. Pick up the newspaper, whatever, any advertisement you want to see. There is a deceptiveness of sin and there's a truth to that. That the deceptiveness of sin, the deceptiveness of worldliness takes people away from God. But notice what I said, away from who? Away from God. The real deep problem with the worldliness of today's church is their concept of God. We don't have a right concept of sin unless we have a right concept of God. Unless that we somehow see him high and lifted up and his train filled the temple like Isaiah did. We'll never say, woe is me, for I'm undone. The truth is, the church that truly sees God is also going to truly see sin. And only as we really see who God is will we ever really see what sin is. Our vision is clouded until we see the clarity of God's great holiness. And the truth of the matter is as well, we will never be a holy people unless we see God as being holy. The problem with today's church and the problem with everybody that questions what God's demands in the Word of God about holy living is, first of all, they have never seen God the way he really is. And oh, my friends, what we need to see and what we need to have is a deep revelation of this fact where God says, I am holy. Because when he says, I am holy, and we get in his holy presence, that changes everything about us. You cannot worship a holy God without deep down inside wanting to be like him. And oh, here tonight, I would like for us to get a sense of what Sister Tammy was feeling when she came into this place and sensed the holy presence of God. Yeah, it's a sweet presence if you're right with God. Sweet, yes, it's even beautiful if you love God. I'll tell you that one woman charismatic preacher that said, I hate holiness and I hate sanctification because all them preachers when I was young used to preach against the way I dressed and called that holiness. Well, I'll tell you, if she don't start loving holiness, I'm going to feel sorry for her on the day of judgment. I'm going to tell you, God is a holy God, and without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. But blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. God is holy here tonight. It all begins with who he is. It's not rules and regulations. It's not living up to the church standard. It's not living up to what Brother Lloyd wants. It's not being embarrassed if Brother Lloyd comes in and finds you somewhere. It's all about who God is. Unless we answer that question, all of this other is nothing whatsoever. I don't want you to live for me. I don't want you to even live to fit in us, with us, as good people as these people are. I want you to live holy because he's holy. And unless we have a vision of his holiness, we'll be able to do anything we want to without any conscience whatsoever. The truth is, we have to love him and love his holiness. Now let me tell you, when we say that God is holy, that means that he has no tint of evil in his life. There is nothing in his character that would even begin to cloud it in any way. A lot of times you look at a wall and you say, well, that's a white wall. But if you took complete, true, pure white and put it up there against it, you would see that there's a taint of something in that. It's off white. It's got a taint of gold in it. It's got a taint of beige in it. Even a taint of pink in it, sometimes you can see. There's a little something mixed into the white. Let me tell you, God's pure white holiness has no taint whatsoever within it. If you're going to talk about evil, it's not anywhere close to him. I know of people that go up and they, you know, pick pieces of lint off your suit, and that's fine. I don't like lint on my suit either. But you can't pick lint off of God's character. There's not the least little bit of it. There's no taint at all of sin in his holy character. But not only can we talk of it in a negative aspect, that he's absolutely pure of evil, you can talk about it in positive aspects as well. You know, God possesses all the great attributes of holiness in the way that you exercise them towards one another. In his character, it's not just the absence of sin. It's the possession of all that's morally excellent. Hallelujah. I like this scripture in John chapter 1 that speaks of Jesus. And I, in all reality, think in some ways this speaks of the positive aspects of holiness in the character of God. In John chapter 1, in verse 17, it says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Grace and truth both harbor the positive aspects of holiness and righteousness. Hallelujah. I know sometimes in our day, grace has been defined in a way that almost acts as if it allows for sin. But that's not the way the Bible presents grace. Grace is full of holiness because grace is full of God's character. In the book of Titus chapter 2, the Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Can you not see that grace teaches you to say no to some things and yes to other things? Amen. Oh, and the grace of God was in Jesus Christ and came into this world. Oh, there's no taint of sin in God, but there's all the positive things of God revealed in Jesus Christ, and the mercy and the love and the compassion and the tenderness and the patience that we see in Jesus was all possessed in the greatness of his divine moral excellence. Hallelujah. And not only was it those gracious things, but there was truth, absolute truth, glorious truth. hallelujah, governing truth in everything that he said and did. Amen. His holiness is absolutely absent of evil, but absolutely perfectly possessing of everything that is right and good and righteous and holy in everything. That's why when we say someone lives holy, we say they live godly. It's something that looks like God. Oh, praise his holy name. Let me tell you, his holiness is absolute and perfect. You cannot get any better. You cannot get any greater. God, even himself, does not outdo what he was in holiness yesterday. He will never be more holy than what he is right now. He has never been less holy. He does not grow in holiness. He's perfect in holiness. Hallelujah. He's absolute in holiness. In this fact right here, there is no character trait nor quality about God that could be said holy that he does not possess. Of certain people, you might say, well, they're strong on patience. They're strong on their hatred of sin. You might say that, but they might be weak on something else. God has no weaknesses. God is strong on everything. He's not just strong on everything. He's perfect in everything. Amen. And he is not just perfect in moral excellence for a moment, but for all eternity. Hallelujah. In eternity past, he's holy. In eternity future, he's holy. And right now, he is holy. Glory to God. I also want to say, he's not only perfectly holy, he's independently holy. My holiness, whatever I have, whatever to the extent that I possess, is totally dependent upon God. Totally. I have no holiness in and of myself. Amen. The only holiness I have was when God convicted me and converted me and I was born again and I received the holy divine nature within my own heart. That was the beginning of it all. Amen. As I read God's word and keep a relationship with God and have faith in God, I can live that overcoming life. But I tell you right now, I am totally dependent upon God, totally dependent upon his spirit, totally dependent upon our relationship, totally dependent upon what he placed in me when I was born again, totally dependent upon his word. And I tell you, if you take away any of that, if you take away his presence from me, if you take away his word from me, if you reverse the new birth, I am a morally depraved, weak person. I have nothing in me whatsoever that could live a righteous and godly life. That God's not that way. Amen. Take away the worlds. Take away churches. Take away people. Take away angels. And God is holy all by himself. He needs no help. He doesn't need fellowship. All he needs is his own great divine character. God is holy and he always will be holy. Hallelujah. He's independently holy. And let me tell you, throughout the word of God, I believe that you could make the case that if you were going to list the things that the Bible says about God, holy, the Holy One of Israel, holy is his name, all of these other things, I believe probably that attribute of holiness is the most often said thing about God. It is a part of his dignity and majesty, much more than probably any other attribute. Amen. This is more fixed even in connection with his name. You don't talk about his wise name, even though we need a wise God, don't we? Aren't you glad God is wise? Amen. You don't even read too much about his almighty name. No, even though we want an almighty God, don't we? We got too big of problems for a weak God. We need an almighty God. But how many times do you read about his holy name? Even Jesus in the New Testament approach to God. What did he say? When you go before him, when you're going into his presence, you're to say, "Our Father," oh, how tender that is. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That means holy. Be thy name. Let me tell you, God has a way of being honored. God has a way of showing his majesty and holiness. Amen. Declares the greatness and the vastness and the glory of God. It seems to be an excellency that even kind of holds together all the other perfections. It's the glory of all the rest. I mean, I love his almightiness. I really do. I'm thankful for his wisdom. But I want to ask you, amen, does not the Bible speak about his beauty being holiness? Amen, doesn't say how beautiful is his might or how beautiful is his wisdom. But it does talk about praising the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Amen, it's his decoration. It what make him glorious and wonderful. I know that there are people that want to take away God's holiness. Amen, would like for even me to quit preaching about it so much. But I'll tell you right now, if you were to remove God's holiness from his life, amen, there wouldn't be all these other things that you admire. Amen, just like the sun, if you took away the light of the sun, would you have warmth? Amen, in order to kill the light, wouldn't you have to stop the blaze? Wouldn't you have to stop the power of the sun? Amen, in order to stop the light, let me tell you, if you took away the holiness of God, you would not have God anymore. You would not have his might. You would not have the warmth of his love. It would not come down from above. No! Holiness makes it all other, amen, attributes possible to us all. Oh, amen. He's glorious in holiness. Amen. Let me tell you, amen, God is holy in all things. Amen. I love the arm of God, because it speaks of his might and his majesty. But listen, in Psalm 98 and 1, it says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory." Oh, there's a victory, yeah, but you say it was because of the strength of his arm. Amen, but don't forget it was a holy arm. It reached into your problem, amen, and wrestled the devil and pushed back the enemy and gave you the victory, amen. In Psalms 105 and verse 42, amen, we talk about the promises of God and about the word of God and how precious that it is. But listen to this. Amen. It says, "For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant." I realize there's many promises, amen, in the word of God, and I love them. But oh, do not forget that they're holy promises because they come from a holy God. Oh, yes. In Psalms 103 and verse 1, it says, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." Yes, he's got a name, but don't forget it's a holy name. You cannot have anything about God that's not holy. It's a holy love. It's holy mercy. It's holy grace. Amen. It's all holy. And oh, when we come into that presence, there is something about it that should be so awesome to every one of us. Amen. Holiness, when it comes to God, does not just mean that he's separate from evil. The word holiness in its root form means separated. Amen. And indeed, it does mean he's separate from evil. But it doesn't just mean he's separate from evil. It means he's separated and high above all things. Glory be to God. Amen. He's not just separated from sin. He's separated from all creation and highly exalted. He's the creator. He is not a part of creation. He is set apart from creation. The first two commandments of the Ten Commandments, amen, speak to us of his greatness, of his majesty, of his exaltedness. There is no other being, no other thing in this world that can demand this. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Why? Because he's separated. He's highly exalted. He's above all. Amen. No one else is worthy of that type of devotion. Nobody else is worthy of that type of commitment. No one else is worthy, amen, of your heart like God is. Amen. No one else is worthy to be loved with all your heart and your mind and your soul, but God is. Amen. You can love your neighbor as yourself, but you have to love God even higher than yourself. You know why? Because he's holy. He's high and lifted up. He's separated, not just from sin, but he's separated from everybody. He's exalted, and we must hold him in awe. Hallelujah. Amen. The second commandment, amen, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor bow down to anything like that. You know why? Oh, you might be able to chisel out the strength of some bull, show its stance, show how muscular it is. You might capture a little bit of the glory and the strength of a bull in a statue, or even the good looks of a man or a woman in a statue. You might even capture the beauty of a sunset in a painting. I tell you what, there ain't nobody like God. Oh, no. You can't paint a picture like God. You cannot sculpt anything like God. God is so much higher than our imaginations. Ooh, he is high and lifted up. Oh, I'd like to get across to you here tonight that God is higher than what. You know what it all comes down to? It is worship. When you recognize the holiness of God, it is worship. Now, when people shout and go out and leave the same as they came in, that's not worship, because they never really got in the presence of God to where he could tell them, I'm holy, and now you need to live holy. And I'll tell you, when someone truly worships, they have exalted him and said, there's no other God like our God. Amen. He's high and lifted up. He's truly and fully exalted. Amen. Oh, when that we worship him, we stand in awe of him. Amen. We stand in awe of his greatness. We stand in awe of his power. We stand in awe of his character. We stand in awe of him. Amen. Several attitudes accompany this idea. When you truly see God as holy, there is reverence. Amen. That word reverence has the idea of a loving fear. Amen. A sweetness. Amen. Of understanding that you are in the presence of someone much greater, much more awesome than you. Oh, great Lord. Amen. How awesome is his presence. You see, there are many people who have lost their awe and worship and God loses the place of prominence, and lesser things become elevated in churches. Lesser things become elevated in people's lives. And oh, when that God is exalted and he has his rightful place, then all the other things fall into place. I'm all for unity in the church. I preach for unity, and I hope that we have unity right here. But at the same time, people that sacrifice the holiness of God for the sake of unity are doing nothing more than building a Tower of Babel and getting everybody together, amen, in a rebellious attempt to go up against God. And I say to you, that will be brought down no matter how unified that a church or a government gets, and where that they can work together Amen. All of man's towers will crumble one day. And I say to you, the church that gathers around the holiness of God and stands in awe and sins not, that enters into his house with a holy hush in their hearts, amen, that is very understanding, amen, that when we sing, we're singing in the presence of God, amen. When we hear the word preached, we are not just hearing the words of man. It's not a political speech. We do not judge it according to how interesting or how funny it is. We judge it according to who is speaking. Is God talking? If God is speaking, then there should be something about us, amen, that says, I must listen to the holy God of heaven. Oh, yes. Amen. You see, when we are in the presence of God, that changes church. And it doesn't just change church, it changes me. It changes who I am. It changes how I live. For the Bible says, as it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And a church will never go worldly as long as when they're singing in the presence of God. As long as they're listening to the preacher, it's the voice of God. As long as they're praying around the altar, they're not making a little mud ball like Devin said and throwing it at some dead deity. I'll tell you, amen, it's people approaching a holy and divine God. Oh, they can be as tender as saying, Our Father, but as reverent as saying, Hallowed be thy name. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Amen. There is something about reverencing God and seeing his holiness that demands obedience. And that is a part of worship. Amen. Jesus said, Him only shalt thou serve. Glory to God. Amen. When the devil tempted him to bow before him, how foolish. That bowing was to show reverence. Jesus showing reverence for the devil. Oh, how foolish. Amen. But there is one that we must show reverence for, and that's God. Amen. Here tonight, I hope that in some way you have felt the presence of God. Could we all stand here? Glory to God. Heavenly Father, Lord, I really believe that the sanctifying presence of God is one of the most awesome presences and awesome things that someone could ever even begin to feel. If we're going to have true, long-lasting revival, it must not just be emotion. It must be your presence. It cannot just be hype. It has to be holiness. Oh, it cannot just be something that moves us while we're here at church, but something that changes us to live a holy life when we're outside these doors. Oh God, come down. Come down in this place. Oh God, the Bible says you sanctified the tabernacle by your glory. Sanctify me. Sanctify this church by your divine presence. Oh God, show us thy glory. Show us thy power. Show us thy majesty. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. No matter what history you read of the Pentecostal revival that took place around the beginning of the 20th century, you will have to admit, everybody will have to admit, it all started in holiness. Yeah. All started where people had an idea of the majesty of God. In all reality, I read Frank Bartleman's book on Azusa Street. He said sometimes they stopped two or three blocks before they got to Azusa Street to prepare their hearts to go in the presence of God. Oh, And he said this over and over again. Fools rush in to a presence where angels fear to trot. Oh, great Lord. I like it when Sister Tammy says, when I just came in, I felt his presence. Oh, I want to be conscious of his presence like that, don't you? I would like for in all reality for us to be so conscious, so understanding that God is in this place. We don't just come to church any old way. Amen. I'm not talking about the way you dress. I mean, most time people try to at least look a little presentable and you know, and that's fine. But I'm talking about our hearts. I'm talking about way down deep inside having a consciousness that God is in this place. Hallelujah. Could you raise your hands here just a moment? Would you just praise the beauty of holiness for just a moment before we come around the altar? Could we praise the beauty of holiness? Hallelujah. Lord, you're a holy God, and we think it's beautiful. Many times this world thinks it's an ugly thing, but Lord, we think it's beautiful. We're going to praise the beauty of holiness. We're going to thank you for that grace that teaches us to deny ungodliness and live godly. Lord, I praise you. I worship you. I thank you for the holiness of God. I worship the holiness of God. Oh, I give you the glory for the holy God of heaven that's come down. Hallelujah. 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 Honey, could you sing that song just a little bit? You're playing. Amen. Let's sing it together.
There's
before we pray.
Sweet, sweet,
let's all sing.
Spirit
in this place. And I know that it's the presence of the Lord. God, have your way, Lord.
Sweet expressions on each face, and I know that it is the presence of the Lord.
Sweet Holy Spirit. God, glory to God.
Without a doubt, we know.
Hallelujah.
We have been revived.
Yes, Lord.
When we shall leave.
Hallelujah. I'd like for everyone that would to come around this altar. Let's ask God to come down in His glorious holiness. Help us to understand the greatness of His presence, to sanctify us by His own power. Sanctify us by His own presence, by the sweetness of God. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God.